This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 775 for property ID 19766700. The property is owned by Muhammad and Faiza Hassan, and the property address is 12308 Northeast 172nd Ave. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Linda McLean as well as Nick Dethridge here for the assessor's office, and we have Muhammad Hassan here for the appellant. If you could all please raise your right hand to be sworn in, and we'll start with the appellant.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Nick?
I do, yes.
Linda?
You're muted.
Yes or no? Thank you.
Sorry, Linda McLean, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear your testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you, to Mr. Hassan, to tell us about your property.
Okay, so this is a house. Personal residence I'm building for myself and my family. I actually do not agree with the assessor's office. They tend to overvalue properties. I guess that's one of the reasons I think your board is extremely busy, and I think their valuation is way off or way higher than what the actual market is out there. So I guess I do not agree with their assessed value. So I contacted the realtor to have the house assessed. So I did submit a realtor recommended sale value of the house. I would like to find out if your office have that realtor report.
Yes, we do.
Okay, so the realtor at the time, she actually visited the property. She valued the house, like a fully completed house, to a $2.247 million. My concern is, like, the house is not fully completed and it doesn't even have the occupancy permit yet. So for me to be able to sell it, I have to fully complete it. And there is a cost to complete at the time she, last year, at the time she gave me the, even Linda with the assessor's office, when she visited the house, So at that time, there were a number of things need to be completed. Because I'm the builder, I'm the homeowner, so I gave you an estimate of cost to complete the house. So there is a estimated cost to complete. I think I gave it to your office, and I would like to know your office have it.
Yes.
Yeah, so based on that, I think if at that time the current estimated sale value of the property was $2.247 million and the cost to complete was around almost $500,000, so you minus that, and based on my understanding, the taxable value of the house should not be more than $1.6 million. 1.7 million. And I have submitted all the exhibits or my supporting documents. And I would like the board to seriously consider my request and price this house, value this house based on my recommendation. I would also like the board to keep in mind that the house is not fully finished yet, and it's actually not sellable as is until it's completely finished and have occupancy permit, and then this house actually become eligible to put it in the market to sell it. If I sell it right now, it will be penalized, and people will not pay its fair value, fair market value, which is going to be even less. So I think that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
I have a question on the page one that gives the analysis, final analysis of the value of your property from that realtor's report. It says their current estimated value is $2,247,000, but there's a comp analysis of $3,483,000. What does that comp analysis mean?
So I guess they review, I wish she could explain it to you, and she's here. This is like based on multiple properties they viewed. I mean, the multiple properties sold in that area. And this is based on high and low per square foot, I would say, the price, the estimated value of the house.
Well, I mean, does that mean it's the house finished or the house as it stands right now? I mean, you're taking that $2,247,000 as it stands right now, whereas the $3,004,000, is that a finished value?
So she can only, she's a realtor, she doesn't know anything about cost of construction. So she is saying if this house is fully finished and have occupancy permit, then this is the value of the property is fully finished.
Okay.
She wouldn't care, or the realtor wouldn't care if it's finished yet or not. And that's what I'm saying, is that's the fully finished value of the house, and minus cost to complete is $500,000. And that's what my take is, my take on this, that this should be lowered to reflect the actual property of the value, the value of the property.
All right.
You originally asked for, your original petition had a total of $1,100,000 on it. So are you adjusting that to $1,692,000?
Yes, you know, I mean, I was basing on the actual, you know, my first take was on it that, you know, I should not be paying more than what the cost of construction is. But it would require a lot of documentation. And since I am the builder, I am the homeowner, it would have been impossible for me to give you all the information. So this is relatively easy way to prove my point. I mean, it's slightly more than what the cost of construction is, but I'm willing to go in this direction just because this kind of makes sense. It's more like it's like everybody can understand it.
And you have 10 acres, and you feel the value of it is only $110,000, or have you?
So I guess on this one, it does not say that the value of that is $110,000.
This no,
is
you just have a total value. I just wondered if you had a particular breakdown for that.
No, there is no particular breakdown. This supporting documents I submitted, it does not even say that the value of the land is supposed to be this much. This is the total value based on whatever the land I have, and based on the house I have on that, So that's what he's talking about, the total value in the market. This is how much it will be sold for.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Can we hear from the assessor's office?
Okay. Nick and I, Nick Dethridge and I went out on the property in December after email exchanges with the homeowner. The outside of the home is very nice. It looks like it's a what we call a class 7, kind of a excellent quality of construction. And after we went out and did an interior inspection of the home and walked through it, we do have his home valued at 85% complete. We're not valuing it at 100% complete. We're taking into the fact that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Flooring, there's some other type of things that are still in the works. And we decided that the quality of construction was not what we had originally, or I had originally valued it at. It's the first time we had been in the home since it really had had additional work done to it. So the quality of construction was lowered from the first letter that was sent out, which is the amended value of the $2,000,005-something and change. I'm sorry, I don't have it memorized. And we did send comparable sales that were similar in size. He does have a 6-7 acre property with a guest home attached to it through a breezeway. He does need some work done in the back, but he has had it landscaped. I was impressed, you know, with the how much he had gotten done since we were out there last time. When I was in new construction, the contractors let me just kind of walk around during my time out there, so I was able to see what was happening. We had it had it at like 82%, I think, the previous year, but we did up it in quality, in percent complete, because he had gotten some work done. The sales analysis that was sent by the real estate agent on the value, I went in this morning and looked, and some of them have sold, but they're not. Some of them are smaller. Some of them have less acreage. So it's just her way of giving an estimate on what she thinks the value of the property would be if they were to put it on the market today. And then my understanding of that comp value, Mr. Weaver, is that when it was complete, 100%, that's what it would be for his assessed value or his market value. It doesn't affect this hearing at the moment, but I did go in and look at an aerial photo this morning, and he has paved his long driveway from the road with blacktop, and he now has the circular drive in front of the home and to the guest house is now been concreted. So that's all. He's continuing to do work slowly. I will be out there on new construction this year, and hopefully I can get a time with him during that time frame that I can come back and see how much work has been done to see if we do need to adjust the percent complete on the home. But we're not recommending adjusting it any lower than our second notice of value that was sent out, and that's in my second response. It's $2,597,193.
Can I say something here?
Sure.
So I guess I am trying to finish the construction of the house this year for sure. It has taken so long. I would like to finish it and be done with it. Yeah, so I'm constantly doing work. It's going very slowly, but yeah, I'm trying to finish it this year for sure. But I think whatever the work we have done today is should be considered for the future year evaluations. I mean, it's not valid. I mean, it cannot be used for this appeal, this tax year. I guess we have to stick with the, whatever the conditions we had at the time this evaluation was done.
I'm sorry, I did mean I think I did say it didn't affect what we were talking about now, but that won't be in effect until next year. And we don't value landscaping. We don't, in some cases, you know, we do give additional value for a large amount of paving, but that is your access road to your home. So that's not going to affect what I'm currently or will be looking at for your value for the 24 assessment for the 25.
Yeah.
It was just a mention that I noticed that you are continuing to work on it.
Yes, yes. And I want to finish it. But I also want to say one thing, like you emphasized that the quality of the construction. I mean, I haven't done anything different than all these comparable houses have done. I mean, everybody have a granite countertops. Everybody have a nice kitchens, a nice bathrooms. So that's all I have, too. I mean, the material I used mostly is actually pretty inexpensive. I mean, some of these houses may have used even very expensive materials. So it's like a, I mean, it's a nice home. I like it the way it turned out. But the quality of construction is not like a super fancy or super good compared to other houses, the comparable. It's actually very similar. It may just look nice the way it's built or something, but the quality of construction is not out of the way. It's very similar to the comparable houses there. Out there.
Right. From being out there the first, just looking out the outside of your home when I couldn't get inside, I went with what we call a class 7 home. And after going inside and touring it, and then when it was under construction, and then when Nick and I went out on our field visit where you let us in the home, which we greatly appreciated, by the way. That was very nice of you to just kind of let us roam on our own. We did determine that I did have the quality of construction for in it. That was only for that year. I had bumped it up because I hadn't been inside of it. So we did lower it back down to similar to the quality of construction of some of the comparables that were used.
So what date did you say you visited the home?
December, right?
I believe it's like the 13th.
Of 23?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you're allowed to include things up until July 31st, but not up until December 23rd.
I didn't. I lowered his quality of construction from what I had during the reval time frame. During the new construction time frame, I had him classed higher. So after we went out there physically, I adjusted it down because the first letter I sent, we had his value at $3,100,069, and I lowered it to $2,597,193 after the field visit, realizing that I had classed the structure. And that's what you can do with a petition is make corrections.
How about the percentage of completion?
No, that stayed the same. It was at 85% complete when I was during new construction. That's what I had it at. And that's what Nick and I talked about that, and we agreed that that's what it was based on us walking through the home.
Well, how about it, July 31st?
85% complete.
So it's 85% then and 85% in December also?
Yes. I didn't no change that.
She didn't change that part of it.
No work was done during that time period?
Even if it was, I couldn't have changed it because that's not the statutes and standard operating procedures that assessor's offices have. July 31. We can be out there past July 31, but we have to value backwards.
No, I understand.
I did not make any percent complete changes when we were out there.
So you're saying no work was done during that time period?
No, I'm not. Right. There, on the inside of the home. He did some things on the outside of the home, but we don't value landscaping. He's got a gas or was working on a gas gazebo type of thing for the backyard. He's still working on the back decking area when we were out there. We don't value any of that. That doesn't have a value in our computer system.
When was your previous visit?
I can look really quick. I was out there in new construction. July 20th. Excuse me, June 20th. I was physically out there.
Of 2023.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you do have a reference point between those 2 days?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. John?
Yeah, I have a question, kind of just clarification on that. So you really took the value that you had from the June inspection. When you looked at it later on, you lowered the quality, and that accounts for the difference in value there on just the house.
So yes,
sir. Changed from good or very good or excellent, whatever it was, down to the next level.
Yes.
Amounted to a change of $500,000?
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Okay. So that answers it, because then where he has all the things listed that needed to be finished, those are still out there somewhere and were counted into that 15% that needs to be totally finished. It's from the 85. Okay. Understand that.
Nick, were you going to say something?
I think you clarified it. I was just going to point out that you had notice work was done on the driveway, blacktop, and things after July 31st. We didn't consider that at all for 2023 value. If anything, we had Linda as a new construction appraiser would make note of that, or any other changes for the upcoming season of new construction for 2024. So it has nothing to do with this appeal or the value we established for 2023.
Okay.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
I don't have any other questions either.
Do you have anything else to say, Mr. Hassan?
No, I'm good, sir. Thank you very much.
Anything else from the assessor's office?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, right. Thanks so much, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 685 for property ID 119206008, and the property address is 17817 Northeast 94th Ave. The property is owned by Larry Deturin. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for board review, and the assessor's evidence included 3 sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there is no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We will be reviewing late files submitted to the Clark County Board of Equalization now. We received a good cause request form from Shuping Chen for property ID 12694-6050. Mr. Shuping wrote, they were both absent from their home prior to the filing deadline for more than 15 days. The notice of value was dated June 8th, 2023. They drove to Maryland on 6-7-2023 to send my son to work, bring the car to him, and flew back on 6-19-2023, and we were on a cruise from 7-2 to 7-9 as well. And they would be using that reason of being absent for more than 15 days.
Okay. I guess it fits.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Perfect. Our second late file this time will be from David Reeves. He is using Reason 1 on the request for reconvene form, which states the taxpayer submits a sworn affidavit to the board stating the notice of value was not received at least 15 days prior to the deadline for filing the petition. Mr. Reeves' property ID is 98605749. He wrote, I was under the impression that new construction was assessed in June, so I was not expecting my newly erected lot to be assessed, as it was not finished by the city until mid-December. Then I received a tax statement. The lot is not finished or ready for building yet. He also included a little bit of a longer letter, which I'll present to the board, where he discusses that his property was not completed and kind of the details that go into that.
So he didn't receive a notice of value, though, right?
That is what he states, yes.
When did he file this? Just now?
Today. I think I received it yesterday, actually. He called a few weeks ago, I would say, to ask about next steps. And it sounds like after confirming with the Department of Revenue, late filing was how he had to proceed. Because he... We're technically past the deadline. I don't...
Yeah.
He did not...
The deadline's 60 days, right? After the date of the notice. And so he's now doing a late filing because he never received it, he said.
Yes. And he submitted a tax statement to us, but I don't have a notice of value for him that he submitted. So if he received one or not, I don't have it, so I don't know.
And did you look it up to see if there was one?
So on the Property Information Center, I did not see one. Hold on, let me pull that up for you. 9860657 49. Let me share this. All right, so when you pull up his Property Information Center, I do see an assessment data. I don't see a general. I spoke with the assessor's office a few weeks ago, I think, about this property. They mentioned they sent one. It's possible they sent one. I don't get to see on PACS other, or on, not on PACS, on Property Information Center, other ones they would have sent. So, I am not sure.
So, there's not one indicated that was sent, right?
Not on the Property Information Center, but sometimes those other ones do get sent. It's possible.
Hmm. Yeah, we should be lenient and listen to him. He won't have any information, so.
Okay, go ahead. All yeah, right. We'll hear him.
Okay, that is the end of our late files. This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 276 for property ID 822-8299-0480. The property address is 618 Northwest View Ridge Way, and the property is owned by John and Debbie Meter. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is Nick Dethridge, Nicholas Paisano, and Susan Peterson here for the assessor's office, and we have John Meter here for the appellate. Anyone who would like to speak on this case, could you please raise your right hand now to be sworn in?
And when you say yes, please tell me your name. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, Susan Peterson.
Yes. Nicholas Paisano. John Meter, thank you.
I have another caller on there. Did I have somebody twice?
Yes, Nick Dethridge.
Say again?
I said yes, Nick Dethridge. I'm here, but I'm not planning on saying anything, so just observing.
So you're an observer?
Yes.
So, Dan, caller two is going to be Nicholas Paisano from the assessor's office, and caller three is John Meter from the appellant's side.
Got it. Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to the appellant and let him further explain his appeal.
Oh, thank you. This is John Meter. First of all, I want to apologize. I was trying to pull it up on WebEx on my laptop here and wasn't able to. I've got it pulled up, but for some reason, the microphone is, it says it's, the microphone is not active or something. I've done this several times on different types of meetings. Never had trouble before. The video is up, but for some reason, the microphone is having difficulty, so I had to call in. So I really apologize for that because I wanted to be on WebEx on the laptop. Okay.
No problem.
Okay. I really apologize. I know it's better the other way. Debbie and I believe that the assessor's office is incorrect in their assessment of the property. They've got it to a little over $1.6 million. And we've filed a lot of information in that regard. This has been an ongoing situation with our property because it was built back in 1989. We moved in 1990 into the property. And so the property is 35 years old. It's very dated. It's got the east siding and tile roof. At the time when the subdivision was first up and running in the early 80s, you only had two choices. You had cedar roofing or tile. Those are the only two things that they allowed. But since then, they've relaxed it, and you've got a lot of other kinds of asphalt, shingles, and residential and structural and all that. So it's been relaxed a lot. We still have the same tile roof that's 35 years old. I know that when we first put the tile roof on, that we heard the same thing lots of people hear, that, oh, it's going to last 50 years. Well, it depends on the tile roof, and it depends on how it's maintained and a lot of other factors. If we had to do over again, you know, which we don't, but I don't think tile works that well up here in the Pacific Northwest, nor does the east. In any case, we've got a tile roof that's 35 years old, and it's deteriorated greatly. It's the same roof. We've never had it replaced. Had leaks, and there's always leaks. You get a broken tile, you get one broken tile, all of a sudden it can just crack on its own for whatever reason. Then the water seeps in, and then it works its way in, and then you got another leak. So it's not the optimum situation. Mr. Paisano had asked about photos, and so I had provided a bunch of photos on that, and they were all within the last few months or a year on what the status of the roof is. It's, like I said, it's already it's the same roof that we've had all along. And I think that the photos that I provided show the deterioration of the roof, the status of the roof and everything, and that's just a snapshot. Some of those tiles were pulled out, you know, for the photos because we just keep getting ongoing leaks, and it needs a new roof is what it needs. To get an asphalt shingle roof of a complementary type, a high-end, you're probably, with a house this size, you're probably looking at and pursuant to the Clark County roofing bid that I've had presented, it'd be like $50,000-$60,000 for an asphalt shingle roof. If we're going to replace it with tile, you're well over $100,000 just for that alone, and to get it where it needs to be. And there was an updated email that the estimator gave on that, and indicated that it would be, you know, no less than, you know, $50,000-$60,000. But if we were going to go tile, which is what this thing is structured for and what we had at the beginning, you know, we're talking well over $100,000. Moving on to the east, Eves was put on this house at the very beginning. That was one of the new and upcoming things. It needs to be totally taken off and re-sided. There was a bid from 2018 on this, and it was way over $100,000, $130,000 in the paint and everything, $150,000. And now the price has gone up to way over $200,000 if this was going to be redone. And I know they still use these, but I don't know about whether people should be using that in this area as well. There's other things, you know, hardy plank setting. Hardy products would probably be a lot better and caulk it up really well, and that's what it really needs. To get this totally replaced would be way over $200,000 to get that done. Prices have obviously just skyrocketed on trying to get things refurbished and reinstalled on your house. So we're looking at a couple $100,000, there to get that done, so that it would be, you know, to meet the appropriate standard. I provided photos on that as well. All over the house is these little cracks and bubbles and everything, and it's just getting worse and worse all the time. And, you know, I'm 71. I can't keep up on this house anymore. It needs to be resided. So, it's just the way that it is. It's 35 years old on the siding as well. It's all original and needs to be replaced. There's also a bid from New Creations. The house is original from 1989. It needs to be updated. Plumbing, electrical. It's got this original carpeting in the house. Everything is all original, and it needs to be replaced. It needs to be updated. The bid on that was like $400,000 to get it upgraded. There's also CMA, Certified Market Analysis, from Brenda Wilson at REMAX, and she estimated that the price of the house would be $903,000 based on the condition of the house, because it needs so much. And I'd be willing to stay with $1,041,000 as it was estimated before. We just went through this back last June. The board had accepted my evidence at that time and agreed with me that it was worth $1,041,000 based on all the needs that the house has. I still maintain that all the needs need to be met to get it up where it needs to be. Brenda Wilson with her CMA indicated that $930,000 is her estimate on what she valued the property at. I'm willing to stay with $1,041,000 to keep it where it is at this particular time. I don't disagree that the house could be worth $1.6 million if somebody went through it and threw in at least $500,000 on the property at a dead minimum to get it up where it needs to be. Then, you know, we could get to the 1.6 range, but without that, there's no possible way it could be worth that. So with that, I appreciate the board's consideration of the evidence and the status and our good faith in trying to indicate to the board that it's not worth what the assessor's office has set it at, and we request that the board set it at the $1,041,000 pursuant to our request. Thank you very much.
I have a quick question for you. You mentioned this market analysis that you got done. Can you tell me when that was done, what the date is on it?
Yeah. Yes, I believe it was August. I can tell you momentarily.
August 14th, 23, it looks like.
Yes, that is correct.
Which yeah. market? I have two market analyses. Which yeah, one are you talking that's, about?
They both yeah, have the
I've
same
got two of them at different values.
But they both
and that's
have,
why I'm wondering when they were done.
Yeah, looks like they both have the same date on them.
That's when they were received by the board, mm-hmm. but not the date they were done.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. So I have one at 941,980 and one at 930. And I'm just wondering which one, what the dates were on.
It says on here we are attaching the CMA report from 12/31/22. So that's the second one.
That was an older one.
Well, 22, that's right at the assessment date.
Yeah.
That's okay. The second. Oh,
yeah. You're correct. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
So which one is that?
It's the second one, the one that's furthest back in the packet.
941?
Well, you wanted the date. I was giving you 12/21/22, which is right at the assessment date. That's the one that's the lower one of the two. That's the 941.
The other one's 930.
Oh, well, okay. I was focused on the date. It says, okay. We are attaching copies of CMA reports dated 8-9-23 and 12-31-22.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So let's hear from the assessor's office.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nick Paisano. I'm an appraiser with the assessor's office, and I'll be discussing this property with you. Very happy to make your acquaintance and to represent the assessor's office. And I'll start with our understanding of the property, as we have this property as a Class 4 plus property, rated in 03 or average condition, with an actual age of 1989 and an effective age of 1989. The property is uncommonly large, multi-story, with 652 square feet of above-grade living area, an additional 1,194 square feet of finished basement with additional unfinished area, and then a very large 1,417 square foot garage. The property is on a half acre, nearly 0.498 to be precise, with an excellent view of the surrounding hills and the Columbia River. The appeal issue, as the petitioner has intended, is that there is an inaccuracy in the value due to the need to remediate the exterior east siding, the need for a new roof, and the lack of remodeling of the subject's interior. So I'll be addressing those. The petitioner's evidence, as has been provided to me, reveals three main cost items, including the remediation of the east exterior siding, a new roof, and remodeling of the interior. The board should consider that the east is still in use today, and early installations and use of the product, while we've had some publicized failure, but the system has been improved and is still in use. The roof is a tile roof, which is known to have a lifespan of 50 or more years. And the petitioner's evidence includes a comprehensive remodel bid, but the property is currently rated as an average property. The lack of remodeling is fully recognized in the condition and the effective age ratings of the subject property. We're fully recognizing the depreciated state of the subject property. Only recently have we received the petitioner provided updated photo evidence of the damage to the roof and exterior siding. However, from my observation of the photos, I think you can see them as well, though they do not provide a complete picture, as there is no recent bids for repairs. We have no bid confirming that the roof needs to be completely replaced or if it can be repaired. Exterior stucco photos are also very limited. There's some cracks. In my own experience, cracks in stucco aren't uncommon over time, and the photos do not seem to depict anything more than localized issues. In the bubbling, I think five or six photos, if I recall. And the presented bid that we've got is from 2018, which is very dated, and it simply doesn't imply imminent failure of these systems or the need for replacement due to lack of action. Now, in my response, the comparables provided by the assessors bracket the subject's assessed value and provide bracketing or very, very close support for the subject's features with market-derived adjustments for differences. The CMA, by contrast, provided by the petitioner includes a sale from an earlier year from 2021 and does not address or adjust for differences between the subject or the comparables. And considering the subject's uncommonly large living area, the positive view amenity, and recognizing its lack of remodeling, the comparable analysis data is fully supportive of the assessed value. No value modification is recommended without a current cost of estimate through bids. Sorry. Remodeling should not be included in any bids, as the property is only being valued as a 1989 year built home in average condition with appropriate appreciation already applied. My recommendation, value placed on the property by the assessors are presumed to be correct. The burden of proof is on the taxpayer to present a clear, cogent, and convincing evidence that the value is in error. The petitioner has not overcome that presumption of correctness. No change in the assessed value is recommended here.
So do you think if he got recent bids, they would be less than what the bids that he has filed with us?
The bids could be, it could vary depending on the materials applied. If the owner chose to use a different roof than tile, the bids could vary. If the owner chose to use hardy plank instead of stucco, which might be wise, the bids could differ.
I don't have any other questions.
And also, I mean, just, you know, reasserting here that the bids in the original appeal that I looked at included bids for remodeling of the subject property in its entirety, and it's beyond the scope here. We've already acknowledged that the property is built in 1989, and it's depreciated accordingly.
I guess I only have a question in that you provided us from the assessor's office with five comparable sales. Four of them are considerably below what your estimate of value is, and only one is way above, or you know, quite a ways above. I'm just wondering, there was nothing else in between. You know, we're looking at a pretty sizable range in there, so.
Oh, definitely. And of course, if there was better data, I would have utilized that, recognizing that, you know, if the onset or beginning of this presentation, we're acknowledging the subject property is atypically large on a very large lot and with a very good view as well. So providing bracketing support is the best that can be accomplished in those circumstances in the lack of identical properties, and I believe that I've accomplished that.
Okay. Thank you.
Allison, could I make one comment? I just want to point out that roof replacement is expected on every structure. And it is not the norm for us to provide a cost to cure for that or an adjustment to value unless the roof is actually failing and the property owner cannot replace it. That typically involves excessive leakage and damage to the interior of the home. Might be a home where you see they have a tarp on it, something like that. So only then would a cost to cure be appropriate for the roof. It's just part of your regular maintenance that is to be expected. And if it were to be replaced using the lower cost product would be perfectly acceptable. It sounds like the CCNRs in there have been adjusted so that you could use a comp roof on it. But it is certainly not the norm unless there is deferred maintenance and it's causing excessive damage to the interior to provide for regular maintenance item like a roof. Thanks.
Okay.
Anything else from you, Mr. Meter?
I guess the only comment would be that I would have on the ETH. I know that it's a few years old on the bid, but just common sense is everything has gone up astronomically, and it would be at least $200,000 to reside this thing, tear everything off, and redo it, you know, no matter what you put on there. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I know that there was automatic reduction in value for siding. At any rate, but not for the EFAS siding. Is that correct?
Are you referring to our office-wide policy?
Yes.
Weaver? Right. So for EVES, there have been homes in Clark County where it failed and it needed to be replaced on the entire home. And we did require a full bid for that. It can be very expensive, several hundred thousand dollars. EVES or stucco in this area is usually a higher end finish, is on better quality homes in the first place. And we certainly will accept that, but we need to see proof that it's failing. There are numerous stucco homes in Clark County that don't have any kind of siding adjustment because it's not failing. You have to prove the product is failing and the entire home needs to be resided for us to give that kind of a cost to cure. So we're looking for that. And then in general, the siding adjustment that took place in the 90s was for failing LP siding. And that program has been discontinued because the problem has been resolved for the most part.
Well, I still get a mailing every April for information on that.
From who?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, from our office or from Louisiana Pacific?
From your office.
Right. So if somebody does have failing LP siding, we will honor that and provide a cost to cure. But again, the point of that cost to cure is that generally it's failing, it's rotting, and it's a big expense, and people are not able to replace it when it needs to be replaced, and so we will provide a cost to cure. Replacement of siding isn't something that happens every 20 or 30 years like a roof does. You know, your siding should last a lot longer than that. So, yes, we'll provide a cost to cure, but we need proof of siding. Just like for LP, they have to provide us with pictures, numerous pictures, so that we can provide the cost to cure and be equitable and fair.
Okay. I have no further questions.
No. I don't have any other questions.
Nope. No questions for me.
Anything else from the assessor's office? Anything from you, Mr. Meter?
No, thank you. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. All right. We'll close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 761 for property ID 335000. The property address is 3715 Lavinia Street. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant. The appellant's evidence included a competitive market analysis performed by Carrie Kreck of Keller Williams Realty, indicating a value of $525,000 as of 2023. The assessor's evidence included four sales and a cover letter recommending no change to the assessed value. I will turn it over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 762 for property ID 11253300. The property address is 821 Friedel Ave. And the property is owned by Thomas and Kay Ortman. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one here from the assessor's office, but we do have Kay and Thomas here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hands to be sworn in now.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Well, we've been in our current house for 19 years. We have never had an increase like we did in 2022 for taxes. In 2023, it went up 16.9%. Currently, we are 78 and 80, and we would like to stay in our home. Based on that kind of increase in valuation during these, I would call volatile times of home sales. In other words, the interest rates have gone up and they've gone down, and when that assessment was made, the interest rates were very easy for buying homes. So even in the length of time from 23 to 24, the economy has changed dramatically. We are concerned because the teachers union won their increase in pay, that next year we'll have a huge increase again to cover that cost. So there's city costs and there's county costs, and there's non-voted costs, and that's the part that we're concerned about, that we have no choice about those changes. Our utilities, gas and electric, have double-digit increases in the last 2 to 3 years. The amount that we've paid for food has been dramatic also. We are seniors on a fixed income. We are not destitute. We do have government insurance benefits in retirement, but we're not going to be able to stay here with these kinds of increases. Our house, being 19 years old, has had a lot of repairs, and those are also expensive.
We'd really like to stay in our own home.
Yeah. That's the end of my request.
On your appeal form, you say that you had an appraisal done by an outside appraiser November or October of 23, is that correct?
Yes, this person was referred to me by a realtor that I knew, and when I talked with him, his license had just lapsed. So he said, I cannot charge you for this because I'm not licensed now, but he was current in his evaluation. So that's the qualification on the assessor that I talked to.
Next time you get an appraisal like that, be sure and include it with your appeal. Include a copy of that for us.
Well, I used the information that he gave me for my appeal, but as I said, he couldn't give me a certificate because of the fact that he just retired. And when I was referred to him, my realtor friend did not realize that.
Okay.
Is it necessary to have an assessor give you a written statement for your appeal?
Well, it's necessary if you have an appraisal done on the property. you should include the appraisal so that we can see what they used to come up with the value and what their qualifications were in doing the appraisal. So that, you know, it covers you and helps us to know that the information wasn't just written down by somebody and sent in, which seems to, you know, could happen, but it's a safeguard for all of us. Also, are you, have you looked at or are you currently receiving any tax exemption or reduction for being senior citizens or on low income? Or do you qualify for any of that?
No, and we are not currently receiving any breaks like that. And that was the other thing we wanted to explore. I know it might be hard to argue that our appraisal, our current appraisal is too high. Although 4 years ago, the house just up the hill from us with the same beautiful view sold for about $550,000. But we wanted to know what other relief might be available for seniors that want to stay in their home and that are dealing with maintenance costs and the other costs that Kay mentioned, the grocery going up 30-some% in the last 4 years.
We walk around wearing extra layers so that we can keep our heat down in the house.
Our utilities went up this year, both electric and natural gas, at double digits. So these costs keep going up, and that looks like more of that ahead with the carbon tax and the other kinds of government programs, the increased property tax to try to take care of the homeless, which seems to be going the wrong way. We can see those increased costs, and so.
Yeah. Well, you really should contact the assessor's office directly and ask about their senior tax exemptions, the various programs. There are two or three programs out there. Your income, age, everything else all enter into it, but it's certainly worth looking at and inquiring about. But you need to do that with the assessor's office.
Talk directly to them, and then they send you a form, and you probably show your income those other factors.
You need to complete an application for the reductions, and if you qualify for it, then it just goes into effect, and you would get you get the tax relief. But I can't tell you a whole lot more about it than that. But you definitely need to talk to them and see if you qualify.
But there is an application form.
Yes.
Yes.
It's also available
online. And we get
online.
That from the...
Yeah.
Okay. And do you... What's that? You just type in a request for senior...
Senior exemption, and when you call the assessor's office, there's a person there, a specialist, that's what they handle, is senior exemption and senior deferral programs, and that's who you ask to talk to.
Okay. And the number is the one that's on your form, telephone number?
I'll send you an email, Kay, with their information, but the assessor, and a brochure about that program, but the assessor's office number is 564-397-2391.
2391. What was the last number?
One. Yep, perfect.
Okay.
But I'll follow up with an email as well.
All right.
I don't have any questions for you.
No, I don't either.
And you folks represent the Board of Equalization?
Equalization, yes.
Equalization. All right. Well, I appreciate it, our chance to discuss this with you, and we will progress because each year we get poorer and poorer, and, you know, living in a country like ours, it doesn't seem quite legit. And well, especially trying to stay in our home. Our home has a good size yard, so we grow our vegetables and fruit in our yard, and we spend a lot of time at it, and that's why we're trying to stay in our home, because not only is it the house is paid off, we can get food on our property. So that's just a little aside. I'm sorry, I was getting a little emotional.
We understand. We're all retired taxpayers too, except for Allison.
Also, it is helpful if the value is truly what the that a retired appraiser said it was. It might be beneficial for you to hire a qualified appraiser and have it reappraised by an independent appraiser and get the value down. Also, so you might check into that and see what you can do there.
Okay. We appreciate the tips you've given us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 763 for property ID 12300-6058. The property address is 639 West Chestnut Street, and the property is owned by Shan Chin and Dat Phan. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Shan Chin here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Right. Yes.
Thank you. And just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on the procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Thank you. I will share my screen. I did a couple slides on my presentation today. There's no new material. The material I'm presenting, it is just a challenge to the comps that was used to assess my assess value. Okay. So, all right. Let me reduce this guy. Can you guys see my screen okay?
Yes.
Okay. So, like I said, it's no new material. The material I'm using, it is just for all of the comps that was used to assess my home. The comps you guys provided was 6 different comps, and I have pictures of all the comps that you guys use. The reason I am challenging this 31% increase of my tax assessed value and same thing tax obligation from prior year is because I believe the comp was used was unrealistic. The comps I'm going to show you that you guys used was all have panoramic river view. It's unobstructed. As all we know that Riverview homes can easily market for $400,000 to $500,000 premium versus a home without any water view. So I will show you pictures of the homes that you guys use as comparable. So my realistic assess of my value should be in the low or mid $900,000 due to not having Riverview and an unusable backyard. Just quickly. All the homes on Chestnut on my side does not have water view. And the home that's next to my property, they were also so happened to be assessed with 31% increase, exact percentage, during July 2023. However, my next door was able to appeal and they were awarded a $300,000 tax assessed reduction. So now the home value is $825. They're exactly next to me. Just kind of show you a picture of their home next to mine. All right, so this picture I'm showing you is view of my home. This is from my kitchen, and you can see there's a house right in front of it. As you can see, because we are the same parallel, not in a slope street, so that's why it's all blocked. Street, this house in front of me, they do have a water view. But again, houses on Chestnut on my side do not have a water view. And this is the picture of my backyard. It's a very small, unusable backyard, okay? And this picture right here is a picture of the listing, the real estate, the posting of my home when it was for sale. So this is like a professional photo. As you can see, the photo on the ad when I purchased my house, you can see there is no water view. So this is from the, this is the living room, and then over here is the kitchen, which this is the bigger picture of the kitchen. So again, my home was assessed a 31% increase, but again, there's no river view. Okay, so this is the first comp that you guys used compared to my home. It was assessed at 1.4, and again, you guys assessed mine at 1.3 based on these home recent sale prices. This is first comp that you guys use, and that's the address. You can see it's a panoramic river, and panoramic river view is unobstructed. This is the first one, and I'll just continue with all the other ones. So this is another one. Again, no obstruction to the waterfront view from the deck, or nor from the inside of their kitchen or living room, and this is the sizable backyard with river view. This is the next comp. Again, this is 1.3, very sizable backyard, again, with water view from the bedroom and living room, okay? There's no obstruction to it at all. And this is another comp you guys use, 1.4. Again, no obstruction to the water view. This is same thing, same messaging, 1.3. No obstruction to the water view. This is the last one of the comp. This is the lowest comp that you guys use. It's 1.1. All the other ones were 1.4 and 1.3. And this is the one with the most obstructive view, I would say, compared to the other comp. And even with this one, you can see a pretty good water view here. And the only issue is the kitchen here with a slight obstruction of the water view. So, and this one is marketed at 1.1, where you guys assessed mine with 1.3, where mine was completely obstructed with no view, pretty much, and unusable backyard. So, back to my summary, I am just concerned about the comps that was used for my home. It's because, you know, these homes has a very high premium. People are paying for those homes at a higher premium because of the river view versus my home that does not, that do not have a river view and an unusable backyard.
Can I have a couple comments? First of all, we are not the ones that sent you those comps. That was the assessor's office.
Gotcha.
We're the Board of Equalization, and that's where you're where people come when they're not happy with what the assessor's office did. So we gotcha. Didn't, just to clarify that. Secondly, on your comparable property worksheet that you sent us, you didn't give us any square footages or any details, not only on your house, but on any of your comps. So we don't know what we're comparing square footage-wise, condition-wise, number of stories, bedrooms, bath. You did put down the bedrooms and the bathrooms, but you had no square footage. That's how we compute our price per square foot, is using the square footage of the home. So next year, you want to be sure when you do this. I don't know if you can see this or not, that you fill this out completely. Oops, here, where am I? See all the blank over here? Be sure you fill that in next time, because that's important information that we use to derive a value, okay?
Understood.
And I appreciate what you said about the view obstruction. That's That's good information.
Yeah, I believe I, not in the comp worksheet, it was in the letter I did explain, because I, you know, one of the house, I'm friends with those people. So, I kind of knew what was in, you know, the view. But yes, I will make a note of that next time, need more details on the square footage. But yes, all the square footage in this neighborhood, it's all about the same. So
we didn't get a letter from you.
I think it was the cover letter. It was the cover letter when you submit with the worksheet.
I have the petition. I guess you mentioned, you talked about the unobstructed view.
I think it was like a, there was only a couple lines and I was only able to put so many words in.
Well, you're welcome to attach a cover letter with more details, but the best thing you can do for us is just fill out this comparable worksheet completely. That's what we really look at. That's kind of our worksheet because we look at all these at home on our own time. We study these at night. So just so you know, for future appeals.
Okay.
I think she's talking about the stuff that she wrote on the first page of the appeal.
Yeah, I think so too, but I'm just explaining to her about the...
Understood for next time. Thank you. Right. So what do you guys think about the next step on this one?
Anything else you want to tell us?
No, it's just I feel strongly the comparable that's used, it's not realistic by the test assessor. I feel they just use comps, of the recent sale for those ones and just slap it around everyone on my street when, on my side of the street, there is, no water view, period.
Well, they have a view listed for you at 25,000 and most of the rest of them are at 60,000. And you say you have no view, so that 25,000 is, in your opinion, not valid.
Yes,
that's
wrong.
60
and the other two are 25.
There's only one of them that is.
One's at 60 and the other two are at 25.
Are you talking about the comps that I use or the comps you guys use?
They have four.
They've got 60. They've got 60. Yeah, I see on all of them.
They have four at 60 and two at 25.
I mean, when you purchase a brand new home or, a home for sale on the market, used or new, one of the biggest one, assigning that sales price. And buying that home, I think view is a big part of it. I mean, I would love to buy my house to go for that price with these comps, but in realistic, I just will not sell it at that price.
And tell us a little bit about the two comps that you have. You know how big they are?
The comps that I selected is walking around my street and making sure, they have very similar size and very similar view, which is no view. And to me, those are more realistic, and they're all in my neighborhood with the recent sales.
Are they all ranch with basement?
It's called daylight basement sale. So it's, it is two story, but it's considered daylight basement.
Right. But you don't have an idea what their square footage is.
It's very similar. I don't have it right in front of me. But all, like I said, all the homes in my area are in the, 3,500 square foot to 4,000 square foot range.
Okay.
But I think price per square foot, it's different when you have a view. It just marketed it at a different price.
Okay. I think I have it. Any other questions, John, Lisa?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. Do I just hear back from you guys at the next step?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your guys' time today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 773 for property ID 11242742. The property address is 8309 Southeast Leiser Point Drive, and the property is owned by Alan Chasegreen. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Alan and Wendy here on behalf of the appellants. If you could now please raise your right hands to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead. Yes, we're appealing you because for the last 3 years you've been before the Board of Equalization, and each year they've raised the value. This year, They've raised the value of the land only by 59%, and we sent in comparables, and they are both houses on the river, and they both have more waterfront footage than we do, and yet ours is substantially more than the value of theirs. The land value of the most expensive one was $1,170,000, and that lot is much, it's 30,000 square foot as compared to ours at 18,000 square feet. And so consequently, we think it's way overvalued, especially like I said, they've been raising it every year. I think that's pretty much it.
We did send
those comparables in.
Yes.
Is Rivershore Drive north or south of Evergreen Highway?
I'm sorry,
Rivershore Drive. So it is south of Evergreen Highway because it is right on the river.
Okay. I'm not familiar with Burlington Drive. Is that somewhere over in that same area?
I believe so.
And it's also on the river.
Okay.
Is there, do you know of any other, I'm asking, there's not much, bare property without a house on it in that area. You don't know of anything that's been sold?
No.
No.
I tried to find whatever I could, but I didn't see anything.
What was the total value of your property last year?
The total value last year for 2022 was
$1,750,000.
Yeah.
And the land value was $975,000. And the building value was $775,000.
So it went up almost $600,000. Huh. Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
Like I said, it's been going up every year.
But that much, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, that's what we thought. Come for a year.
Unfortunately, there has been some riverfront property that is bare property that has been sold in the past 2 or 3 years that have gone for outrageous amounts, which drives the price of everybody's land value up. I think I understand it.
Okay.
Our house is 34 years old, and so, you know, not like it's anything new at all.
Yeah. And
you're right down on the very bottom level that's right next to the water. You're not up higher.
Correct.
Okay.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition 767 for property ID 18190701. The property address is 17516 Northeast 29th Ave, and the property is owned by Catherine and Jerry Snyder. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one from the assessor's office and no one from the appellant. No detailed quantitative information was provided by the appellant for the board to review. I will turn it back over to Chairman Daniel Weaver.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available or lack thereof. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the April 4th, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition 235 for property ID 922-33008. The property address is 2830 Northwest 8th Way, and the property is owned by Shipping Wang and Sarah Zhang. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We do have Nicholas Paisano here from the assessor's office, but we have no one here for the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do so swear.
Thank you. I don't have to give you the rest of the spiel because you already know it. So, the appellant is not present, but the information suggests that the assessor has given them recommended the value that they requested because it was a purchase at or near the year end, which is evidence of a good value. So the appellant requested $450 and the assessor granted $450, so we shouldn't have any discussion. But if you wish to add anything further to that, Mr. Pisano, you're welcome to.
Your understanding is accurate. I do stipulate to that purchase price for a period of 1 year. We'll see how the market changes or does not change the next time around, but for this case, I'm stipulating to that price.
Very good. Thank you. Close the hearing.